Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, well, look, get this straight now. It was golf in the morning, and then the races and the Eagles in the afternoon. So you have to get things straight. You can't just paint a false picture. and I might add, Sunday gravy.
The Sunday gravy, and I'm going to put a picture up. I'll put a picture up of the Sunday gravy. I'm very impressed. Johnny and I were vying for favoritism based on our Sunday evening dining because I brought Tina for one of the great experiences that most Philadelphia tourists don't partake. We stopped in Northeast Philly as we were leaving after we left the Eagles game, and I brought her. I guess should I say? I guess I have to call it Joe's, don't I, Johnny?
No, you can call it. You better call it the original name, or people won't know what you're talking about.
Well, for those that the Philly people are laughing already because they know that Joe's post-war. One of the early cheesesteak shops and steak sandwich shops, a little tiny diner, greasy spoon kind of a thing. And the Jewish owner had a certain look, and his nickname was Chink, and was called Chink, and the joint was known as Chinks for years and years. And then as Mr. Sherman passed, and the family sold it to a one-time employee, the era changed, and nobody really understood at that point in about 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah, about that. About
yeah.
That. Seems right.
Yeah,
well,
Joe.
It became politically incorrect.
Yeah. So the locals, and of course this causes confusion to the general public because, when you have a place that's known by two different names, but I hadn't been there myself in years, Johnny. And to the point where I didn't even know about the name change. And was confused myself when I started to go look for the address because I knew generally where it was, but then I found out what had happened that it had now become Joe's. So and there's one in Center City for those that don't want to go to Northeast.
Yeah, it's in Northeast Philly. I grew up in South Philly, so it was not in my neighborhood. And there are plenty of great cheesesteak places in my neighborhood. So I didn't make it to Chinks for a long. That's what it was called when I went there. I'm sorry. I didn't make it to Chinks until I was older. We're known for our cheesesteaks. And if you can separate the city based on where every person has their own favorite cheesesteaks. If you go for the touristy Pat's or Gino's to Tony Luke's or Joe's up in the Northeast, there's so many different places you can try, and I'm glad you got to try it.
Well, it's not only are the steaks phenomenal. I mean, steak was out of this world. It's also a soda shop, and they make a milkshake that'll knock you out. I got a black and white shake, which was phenomenal. Tina went chocolate, but just a great experience and a great weekend overall. We were at Belmont on Saturday, Johnny. We went to the Avid Brothers on Saturday night at Barclay Center. First time I've been in the Barclay Center and saw the Avids. They were tremendous. The racing, as we were driving home, I'm watching racing, Tina's driving. And then, I was doing a victory dance, going to Chinks and you sent me a picture of the vat of Sunday gravy that Gail made, and I had to take a back seat. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're two very lucky guys. That's all I can say.
That's very true, actually.
You know, I don't think we did anything to deserve this good fortune. I think we just got lucky. You know, sometimes you get lucky.
You got to be walking around lucky now and then.
Yeah.
And not even know.
And you know, having the Eagles win, having the Cowboys, you know, Green Bay, the Eagles defeated Green Bay last Thursday night, two Thursdays, whatever ago, and then Green Bay goes into Dallas and blows Dallas apart. You know, it's kind of Sunday gravy. Great game results. I don't know. How can it get any better?
I can't. It can't. It just win. All we do is win. Johnny, talk a little bit about what you played. What, you know, there was a lot to absorb, and I went all in on Saturday with Belmont and Santa Anita. Belmont and Keeneland, and I had played Keeneland on Friday. I really enjoyed, you know, Sunday I kind of took off a little bit because we were traveling and I kind of walked away from that Empire Six. I had kind of promised to do it. And then I looked at it and I said, you know what? I'm going to bypass this thing. Three maiden races. And I don't know. I just thought it looked a little vexing. So I bypassed the live action Sunday, just I kind of watched. But what did you do?
Yeah, I bypassed Sunday's Empire Six, just like you. I didn't find anything that I was really crazy about. And you know, there was so much great racing this weekend. It really was a fabulous fall weekend. And I love this time of year because we get great racing, and we're heading up to the Breeders' Cup. And you know, you watch these races with anticipation, looking for clues that you can maybe use when the Breeders' Cup is at Santa Anita this year. And, you know, you've got the football going on, you've got the gravy, and the house has that smell. And we had that little bit of fall, you know, poking its head out this weekend, because we've had them. I don't want to say unseasonably, but we've had warm, warm weather and not much rain. And then this weekend, it kind of was like that overcast, drizzly, particularly Friday and Saturday. We had some real strong wind here on Friday, and it was cold, and then Saturday was crisp in the morning. So it's like, you know, Mother Nature was saying, I'm here, I'm on my way.
That's true. It's true. Although then yesterday it was kind of, and even today, kind of balmy, strange, humidity and damp and so forth. A little bit confusing on that front. The results, and I'm gonna guess that if I had to say to you what one performance or one moment from the weekend stood out, you're going straight to Dick Mandela's barn.
Absolutely. I mean, that's certainly the most impressive feat, the training feat, racing feat of the weekend, I think, coming off of a long layoff with all those interruptions. We know the story. And then running the way Omaha Beach ran in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. It's a shame because it was Chancelot running an outstanding race. I mean, just an outstanding race. Just to be nailed on the money by Omaha Beach, and I think there were a couple noticeable points that we should pick our heads up about this race. Chancelot went to Santa Anita early and had to work over that racetrack. And for people who had concerns about how Eastern Horses would handle this new, deeper Santa Anita surface, I know you've brought it up several times. I think it's instructive to see the Chancelot went out there had some time, had a good workout, and the times, the fractions that Chancellor put up in this race over that racetrack were fast, very fast. You know, so he ran an outstanding race. So if you're worried about Eastern horses handling that track, he kind of makes you feel like it's not impossible. You know, like it's not. Now he was there early, and he did have a work over it. So maybe that's important. Maybe trainers, you know, you can keep an eye on guys that do that. But he handled it well. So that's a good sign. And then when you look at Omaha Beach, you know, he's certainly the most interesting runner coming out of this weekend's preps because of the – not only because of how he ran, which was sensational, but what do you do now? Which race do you go in? What do you do about riders? And if we have any evidence about how Richard Mandel trains, just a Hall of Fame trainer who absolutely knows how to get a horse ready for a Breeders' Cup event. If I know anything about Richard, he's going to wait as long as he possibly can. If you look at the work pattern on Omaha Beach, Richard works this horse 2 6 furlong works and then 2 7/8 works, one of which he didn't like and had to change plans at the last minute. But, you know, he's not afraid to work a horse a mile or 2 miles, not 2 miles. I mean, a mile twice, along the lines of a Charlie Whittingham, I would say. And I would put Richard in that vein. He's that kind of trainer. He's that quality trainer. He's that type of trainer who would take a horse and come out of this sprint race, work him a mile a couple times, and go in the class. Of course, the mile's a possibility. He could work him 7/8. This race is going to do wonders for Omaha Beach if it doesn't knock him out. Now, that's certainly has to be a concern in your mind, but this is a quality 3-year-old. He's had plenty of time off. He's got ability. The other thing, looking at his form, I wonder about the mile and a quarter. Again, we never know until they try it, and trainers will tell you that you never know until you try it. But Richard will have a good idea. He'll have an idea watching his horse work a mile. He already has an idea of what he thinks of this horse, and all he said is a rave reviews about this horse, before the race and after the race. So I don't think he's worried about the distance, but it could be a concern. But he's sharp, he's good, and watching that develop is, I think, the most interesting thing to come out of this weekend, this weekend's races. So you're right. I found that the most entertaining, interesting, provocative. Where should he go? Should he go in a mile? Should he go in a classic? And he'll wait and see. Richard will not be hurried by anyone. He'll take his time and let the horse tell him what he thinks he should do.
What's fun about this, knowing that, you know, he's back next year, the potential for him to do, kind of a precisionist Breeders' Cup style, pairing, to run in the sprint this year, maybe, and then come back next year and culminate in the classic. Because he with that performance, he demonstrated, what a talent he is. I mean, some people are jumping the shark on, declaring him, he's the 3-year-old champion. Well, easy. I thought was a little bit. He's the best horse. He should be. Well, no, that's not how this works, kids.
Well, I think you got to remember also. It took him like five tries. Was it four or five tries to break his maiden? That's generally right. And he did it. And he did it over a sloppy track at Santa Anita, which, you know, sometimes you say, well, he handled the track. Now, he was second in those races. But, you know, you think about it. And, yeah, he's got a great three-year-old resume, but he's not there yet. He's got to do one more thing. And if he does one more thing, and that is the sprint, I don't think he'll run in the sprint. I don't know why I don't think that. I just don't think that six furlongs is his best game. I could see him in any of the three, but not the sprint least likely for me. The mile more likely, and the mile and a quarter the next most likely for me, because I mean, look what's at stake. If he wins the Classic, he's 3 year old, maybe Horse of the Year, maybe, depending on what happens with Midnight Bisou. If she should win, I think maybe she would get it. You know, there's other things that happen there, but he's certainly 3 year old of the year. If he wins the mile, he's probably 3 year old. So, you know, there are things to weigh. But what's going to move Richard Mandela is where he thinks his horse is best suited to run. And that's what's going to move him. And let the other stuff take care of itself. The money, the honors, all that stuff. He's going to run this horse in the race he thinks is best for this horse. And watch the workout, Pat. Watch his workouts on XBTV. Follow the way this horse goes. You know, really get into it, because it's the fun of approaching the Breeders' Cup, is to watch how this horse trains and see what you can see. Learn from watching this horse in the work. What is his next? How long is it going to be until his next workout? Is it going to be 10 days, 12 days? See what happens. Follow it. Learn something from it. Again, you know, we always harp on this. I'll play the harp one more time. They're not machines. They're living, breathing creatures. And this horse has been through a lot this year. And how do you get to the next step? And it's not, well, we want to do this with him, so we're going to train him like this. It's more, we're going to train him, and then we're going to see where he takes us. And, you know, I mean, at least they know we're aiming for November 2nd. What race? I don't know. So watch his training. Watch the pattern.
We'll talk to Mandela probably in about 45 minutes.
Give him my advice, because I'm sure he's, you know, he'll be.
Well, that's why he's appearing. He said, "I want to come on and hear what Johnny what DeSantis wants me to do." Did you ride a lot? Did you ride a lot for him?
Some, because, you know, when you're based in California and all your riders, you know, it happens by accident. I wouldn't say I had any steady riders for him, but I did have riders that rode for him a little bit. But I got to know Dick well, because he's a great guy to be around. He's a fun guy. He's always been a fun guy to joke with, to kid with. He's got that dry, self-deprecating humor. So stopping by his barn was part of your trip, your morning routine, so to speak.
Yeah, Mandela has, we usually, when the word droll is used, the droll sense of humor in a, you know, you think of British, you know, the David Niven, Peter O'Toole-esque. He's the domestic equivalent, just self, you know, self-deprecating and you better listen carefully, because there's a joke or two invariably embedded. He's the kind of person you talk to, and then like an hour and a half later, you say, "Oh my God, that was very funny what he said." Yeah. It's always fun to talk to Mandela. What other performances? Talk about the two-year-olds, Johnny, because we got obviously a situation that is custom made for ripped from today's headlines with the Sacatoga team bypassing, it seems, with Tis the Law. I am looking forward to catching up with Barkley Tag, too. Delighted for Barkley. And this was a horse we talked about a lot. And obviously the shin, he had those two-year-old shin issues that, kind of had him treading water for a few weeks, but it didn't take anything away from him. He was very impressive, obviously, winning the Champagne. We just talked to Brendan Walsh, and he'll go forward with the Godolphin homebred, Maxfield. And the two fillies couldn't have been more impressive either. Wicked Whisper for the Lieblongs and Asmussen, and British Idiom on Friday. I thought the fact that the two-year-olds, the 4 2-year-old winners dominated the way they did, that's a story in itself, because those races all looked super competitive.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you that, all the winners looked good. And you can go back to, Eight Rings, winning the week before, looked very impressive. Baffert Philly didn't look quite as impressive in winning her race, but she got the job done. Bast. We're on a collision course here. Of course, the Champagne is always a race that we look at to get our contenders for the juvenile. And Tis the Law not coming. He won. won nicely. He's got a great burst of speed. A quick boom. A turf-like explosion in the stretch. He does do a bit of head cocking, leaning in kind of through the lane, which, may or may not be a concern. He's still running while he's doing it. The fact that they've decided not to go to the Breeders' Cup, anyone can do whatever they want. They pay the bills, they can do whatever they want. And I understand some of that. To say that you have concerns about Santa Anita Surface, I don't agree with that. I find that disappointing for a couple of reasons. I think that based on what's transpired, and we all know the story, we all know what's happened, we also know what preventative measures have been put in place. We also know how diligent the Breeders' Cup is every year, no matter where it is. Since they had some issues a few years ago, they've stepped up their game. knowing all these things, adding them together, I would say that the Santa Anita racetrack on November 1st and 2nd is going to be the safest racetrack maybe ever in the world. It's kind of like when people talk to me about after 9/11 attending the Breeders' Cup at Belmont Park. Oh, we shouldn't go. It's New York. 9/11. I said, you know what? That's going to be the safest place you could possibly be, because everyone is on high alert. Everything has been stepped up. All measures have been approved. That's one reason that would not keep me from going to the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. That racetrack has been worked on. The experts have looked at it. It's been analyzed. It's been, improved. And the veterinarian process that they have looking at horses before the races is airtight. Look, can there be injuries? Will there be injuries? Always. We're dealing with physical activity. Excuse me one second. There will always be injuries because it's a physical activity. I watch pro football games, college football games. Guys get hurt every game. And yes, these are horse. No one likes to see an animal injured. We've been down this road. We talked about all this before. You're not going to wipe out all injuries, but that's the goal. That's where you want to be. Santa Anita and Breeders' Cup combined on those 2 days have done everything possible. So, in my mind, that's the safest place to be if you're going to race the horse. And I'll just leave it at that. I'm disappointed this horse won't be there. Maybe they'll change their minds, but probably not. I wouldn't like him in the race anyway, just for the fact that he kind of pulled early. He's got to go 2 turns for the first time. He's got to shift. It's going to be a very competitive field. He does that, drifting in. He cocks his head to the side. I wouldn't like him anyway, but disappointed he's not going. So that's it. Otherwise, a two-year-old picture between Dale's horse, Dennis the Menace, or whatever. That's not his correct name, I know.
Dennis's Moment.
Yeah. And Baffert's 2-year-old, it's going to be a good field.
Well, and this horse, what about Brendan Walsh's horse?
Yes, yes. Yes, don't let me forget Brendan Walsh's horse. Yes,
no.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Gouverneur Morris, it obviously, it's a little disappointing. You get beat at 3-2, but it wasn't an embarrassing effort. It was his second career start, and we'll see what they are going to do, the Team Valor group. Ajaweed, the kind of chase, the disappointment, Mrs. Weber, and when we talked to Mark Cassie, I think the big problem there was that Gaffleone thought he was going to be better off. He thought he was going to be better off rating, and that was not the plan or the concept, and he sort of rated him right out of the race. So we'll see what they come back with, but that had to be disappointing. Tap it to win. Going back to New York. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Gouverneur Morris, he ran fine, but, I mean, he was wide most of the way, but he just didn't have any get up and go in the lane, and that bothered me. I know it's only second start and all that, but not just giving you my read on it.
Well, and then coming back. Coming back into New York and into the Champagne, the same thing. The big, the big horse, the big name coming in. Although, frankly, Greenlight Go and Tis the Law pretty much vied for favoritism. 6-5 on Greenlight Go and just a little under 3-2 for Tis the Law. And same thing. I mean, Greenlight Go on the front end didn't really have an answer for Tis the Law. But was pretty much engaged every step. So, this was another case of a horse. The Jerkins Barn, wasn't necessarily, careening toward Breeders' Cup. But, I mean, it got beat, what, four lengths.
Yeah. And I think you got to beat Dennis the Menace and Baffert.
That's it. All right. So we're locked in on that front.
Yeah.
Couple of Johnny, a couple more minutes. I won't say any other. I'll say quite notable to me that these West Coast shippers that have been poaching Mid-American and East Coast opportunities, they continue to succeed. Peter Miller, Spice Perfection, by the way, as much as we're talking about the great effort we saw from Omaha Beach, the performance of Spice Perfection, who blew the break and spotted the field and got a terrific. Castellano is always great in that circumstance because he does not rush the horse back up into contention. He let her settle, and then she got a chance to run them all down, and she did just that. That was in the TCA. And there was Baltus, who absolutely came in. Baltus, to me, looked like a beach ball coming into that Hill Prince. Johnny, that was one of those circumstances where you say, boy, this is the most welcome stranger I've ever seen in PPs.
When you're seeing the ball like that, Steve, it's nice when you see one like that.
Yeah.
And yes, it is notable how well the California Invaders did. And also,
O'Neill.
Notable how well they did on turf. because I think there was some concern about how good the California horses were on turf as compared to the Eastern horses, because the Eastern horses have had success going west. But maybe it's just pretty even, because we didn't really, well, it's interesting. I found that interesting that the West Coast horses, on turf horses particularly, the dirt horses from the West Coast always do well. They always do well when they ship east. But I was surprised that the turf, Uni's victory was in the First Lady. It's kind of tough because that Phillies and Mares Breeders' Cup division kind of falls through the cracks there, because you either got to run against males or you have to run longer. You know, the mile is you got to make a decision. I imagine she'll run against males, but I don't know.
They're talking the mile for her.
Yeah, I could see that. Jeremy Plunk wrote an interesting article on ExpressBet.com about races that have produced the most Breeders' Cup winners. And the Frisette, the Arc, and the Spinster have all produced double-digit numbers of winners. Arc, we didn't talk about the Arc. If you want to concentrate on looking at those races, as far as Breeders' Cup winners coming out of those races, how about the Arc? Enable, she ran well. She was second best. Waldgeist ran a superb race. It just shows you how difficult it is when either a horse or a human or a team is trying to do something for the first time in history. But as I like to say, history is a long time. History is a long time. When you're
history
trying to
is a long time.
Be the first one to do something like Enable was when the Arc three in a row. But also, I loved John Gosden's. There's a clip on Twitter that I retweeted. John Gosden talking about a Noble's race and just outstanding the way he gave credit to the winner. He talked about, he analyzed the race. He talked about the ground. He talked about some people who may rush to say that the Tory moved too early. And Gosden said, well, no, I don't think so, because if the ground were a little firmer, I said that was going to be a problem for us. I thought that would be her downfall. Just the way he delivered himself, the way he acted, it was great to hear. And anyone who knows John, is not surprised at that analysis. He's just tremendous.
Well, and it is remarkable how, the kind of horse, between Trev and her that have tried this. I mean, it's audacious enough to win two and then to try to come back and win a third. But it really does say something. And, you think about Breeders' Cup, too. Right?
Coming.
I mean, Gold Dakova. There's something, that third victory. There's something just daunting. I mean, just.
And I think that's a lesson, too, for horse players is, as the years go on, again, back to these are not machines, harping. They are not machines. And the more you appreciate the age of, like, we had three-year-olds running against elders on all over the place this weekend. And I think most of them had a hard time taking that step. Because you're not just running against elders. You're in a stakes race against accomplished elders.
Right.
And that widens the gap. It makes it even though you may be an accomplished three-year-old, racing against accomplished elders is hard. So we have to factor a lot of things in when we handicap, but think of the horse as a living, breathing organism, and that they're going to improve, and then they're going to get to a peak, and then they're going to start to like most of us, go down the other side of the mountain.
The other side of midnight, as Gary Young would say. Johnny, yeah. we're on the other side of midnight, except that it's 11 a.m. So.
All right. Big weekend, lots of stuff going on. We'll have lots of time to dissect these Breeders' Cup races. I'm looking forward to it. We'll have the Express Bet Breeders' Cup Wager Guide. It'll be out, be available Friday, October 25th. Aye. We've got a roster of unbelievable experts.
Aye, aye,
have
aye.
At it.
On the 25th, so all right, I got time. All right, I'm not in terrible shape here. All right,
no,
good.
Not tomorrow.
All right. Well, most importantly, how many days worth of gravy is there going to be? How many more days of pleasure?
Well, due to my heart issues earlier this year, I've been put on an allocated dose of gravy, because I'll eat gravy every night. I mean, you could just give it to me every night. I've been allocated. We've frozen some, which you can do. It's a great thing to have. And then I can have it for lunch today. And then I can save half of it and go with lunch today, lunch tomorrow. But then I'm locked up for a while.
Wow.
It's been 10 months since I've had Sunday gravy, which is probably the longest I've ever gone in my life without Sunday gravy. But, you know, these doctors, they don't realize. It's like chicken soup. Sunday gravy has the healing powers of chicken soup.
Well, Johnny, I'm just happy. I'm happy that you had that moment last night, and I'm gonna yield to you. And in fact, the votes are coming in. Although Joe's has already retweeted my tweet, but the vote the votes are coming in for Gail's Sunday gravy. Good job, Donnie. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll take a break just past the top of the hour. An hour to come, and we've got Richard Mandela. But next, Nacho Correas. And if you didn't see his post-race interview heading for a photo with Brittany Ayrton, I'll circulate it again. We've documented here over the last few years how Correas had to rebuild his business after being left high and dry. And he's done it brilliantly. And this mayor, Blue Prize, has been instrumental. I mean, she's been really, you know, everything that Correas, you know, was looking for and needed, you know, when you're wanting to reestablish your presence and, you know, remind everybody that you can train. She's been a big part of it. And, you know, with her career winding down, her racing career, it's emotional. And so to repeat, really against, you know, one of the best, probably the three-year-old filly champion in Dunbar Road, and the season-long, well, one of the top season-long distaffers in Elate. Midnight Bizou still is atop that pecking order. It was emotional, and you could really see it. He's one of the real gentlemen in the game. Nacho Correas. When we come back, hour three at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a grade one race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence. But then you realize.
We're back at the races, 10 minutes into hour three. On a busy Monday, and it'll be a busy Tuesday and a busy Wednesday because so many races, so many good races, good performances, great stories to recap. And the one yesterday at the end of this opening 3 days of Keeneland, the grade one spinster, the opportunity for Blue Prize to reprise her win from a year ago as her career is basically winding down, it seemed a long shot. And the price of a long shot in this circumstance was 7-1. Nacho Correas joins us, and overcome really by the emotion of it all and getting her to be ready for that opportunity and to capitalize. Great ride by Joe Bravo. And,